Our scripture reading this morning will be Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. I'll be reading from the King James Version. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye hath need of before ye ask them. After his manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Where do I begin? There's so many words to say about Spencer and his wonderful family. We've been working on this for a couple of months. I asked Spencer if he would come here and help us with the jam and share the word with us. And the kind of guy that Spencer is, it's every time I asked him to do something, he said he would do it. So come and help us with the jam. And while you're here, how about preaching? How about Sunday morning? How about Sunday night? So Spencer is here this morning with his beautiful family that you can see there on the screen. His wife, Candace, and son, Landon, and Kason. And Spencer is born, he's a true Texican, to quote a line from John Wayne's The Searchers. He's a Texan, a Texican. 2005, Spencer joined the Lord's Army and being baptized at the Keller Church of Christ there in the Fort Worth area. Spencer wasted no time. After graduating from high school, he enrolled in a school of preaching there in Bedford, Texas, and graduated in 2008. Spencer received his Bachelor of Science in Management Communications in 2011 from Ambridge University. And reading through Spencer's bio, Spencer, I was kind of surprised you left out one of your most significant accomplishments. Let's see if I have a picture. This is a picture from top of Mount Antero, is a mountain range there in Colorado. And I had the pleasure to spend almost a week with Spencer and a whole lot of youth trying to get to the top of this mountain. And there's a picture of the group celebrating that accomplishment. We endured rainstorms and hail and cold weather and utter exhaustion to get there. And as the youth were over, they were celebrating. They still had enough energy to celebrate when we got up there. Some of us didn't. I think the young lady there is wondering if she can find a shovel to throw some dirt on that guy. But it was a great experience. And if you want to get to know somebody, spend a week trying to climb the top of a mountain with them. And I don't think there's one person in that group that at one time or other didn't need the encouragement of their brothers and sisters to get there. So it was a blessed event. Enjoyed it. Got to know Spencer very well, and unfortunately, he got to know me real well too. But Spencer, come and preach the word to us, brother.
Howdy. That's not going to be the same twang the rest of the lesson. I really don't have a Texas accent. I don't think I do. I've lived my whole life in Texas, in the Fort Worth area, as Brother Mike just said. And he kind of did steal my introduction thoughts. I was going to talk about the 26-plus miles that we hiked in 6 days, 14,000-foot Mountain, and I was very thankful to get to meet Brother Mike. And I already was planning on taking a trip with my family to the happiest place on earth, I believe is the quote, for Disneyland, and that's exactly one of the reasons why we're here. And another reason why I'm here actually this morning is I love to preach about the happiest place on earth. And I like to preach about being in the Lord and what it means to have that hope and to rejoice in the hope that awaits us. This is actually right before summertime. I work in youth and family ministry at the Keller Congregation, the Keller Church of Christ, which is in the middle of the DFW area where Mike Race, some of his family lives. Have three of his kids are in the youth group. One, the youngest, has a couple more years before she'll be entering the seventh grade. But it's going to be crazy this summer. We're going on camps. We have preacher training camps. We're hosting a camp for younger guys to learn how to preach the message. We're going to do what's called Summer Youth Series. It's kind of like y'all's jams that you have. It looks like monthly youth jams on that sign there, which we'll have a lot of fun this afternoon participating in. So we got a busy summer, so we're going to relax a little bit. But before we get to Disneyland, we're going to preach the word. And we're going to look at this lesson called Dear God, 10 Things to Pray For. And I want to start off by showing you some prayers of children. It's funny listening to children say prayers, especially one of my little boys, and his prayer is very different each time when he leads us in a prayer if we're going to have a dinner or before he goes to sleep. But some of these are kind of catchy. Dear God, I went to this wedding, and they were kissing right there in church. Is that okay? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do it. Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I grow up, but without so much hair all over. Two more. Dear God, my grandpa says you were around when he was a little boy. How far back do you go? And dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy? Oh, sorry, I had one more. Dear God, when my mom makes leftovers, do we have to pray for the food again? Surely this verse comes to life. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 16, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. It's so important that our youth begin an early relationship with God. The scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. It's so essential, starting off young, even when you become a Christian, when you're new in the faith, that you start off strong and learning about the Lord's way. In Matthew chapter 18, in verses 2 through 4, I'm going to have a lot of scripture. I hope that's okay. But in calling to him, a child, Jesus speaking, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I love the purity and the innocence of children and asking simple questions about how do I pray? Why do we do this? When the Lord's Supper was passed just a few moments ago, the different emblems, and my son asked me, what is that? What's that cracker? What's that juice? It's nothing but a teaching moment where I can explain to him about the Lord's death, his burial, and ultimately his resurrection. And trying to teach children and teach new Christians how to pray. It's so important. We're not going to spend too much time looking at the mechanics of prayer. I want to focus primarily on things that we can pray for. But when we look at the fundamentals here of prayer, we had in the scripture reading earlier the model prayer. Some refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. And we see that prayer is directed to the Father. And we thank God for his will. And we recognize him for his will being done in our lives. We're thankful for the daily blessings that we have. We ask for forgiveness and that we remember about the presence of the evil one in our lives. And looking at the mechanics of prayer, we pray through Jesus Christ. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the thought is continued in 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse number 5. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And lastly, with this idea of going through Christ in our prayer, in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he is always lives to make intercession for them. If you were in one of the adult Bible classes, we talked about this idea of confidence. And when it comes to prayer, that we can have confidence in our prayer. When we're talking to God through Christ, we can know that he hears us. The scripture reads in Hebrews 4 and verse number 16, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In another verse that goes along with this confidence teaching, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, and whenever we ask, we know that we have the request that we ask of him. So why have a whole lesson on prayer? Why spend this majority of the time going through this 10-point lesson? I know we're supposed to do 3-point lessons, but we can make 10 points, trust me. And we're going, why? We've heard many lessons about the mechanics of prayer, but personally, I haven't heard too many sermons on what specifically can I pray for? What? How should my prayers be worded? And I catch myself sometimes maybe vainly repeating some of the same thoughts in my prayer. And I want to know what the scriptures teach about what that we can pray for. So well, here's what we're going to do. Point number one is probably the most lengthy point, because the scripture is full of thoughts and verses about praying for evangelistic efforts, praying for evangelism. We start off by looking at verses like Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his soul?" And the reason why this verse is so important, there are things that we are not immune from. We are not going to be immune from pain, sickness, death, money struggles, and issues of life. Sure, we can prevent and slow down some of the processes of all that list I just mentioned, but we cannot be immune from the soul's condition, that our soul is eternal, and it will spend eternity somewhere. So what does it profit for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? So when we pray for evangelistic efforts, we ought to consider passages like Ephesians chapter 6 in verses 18 and 19, that those who preach, that they may do so boldly, boldly proclaim the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. That thought is repeated in Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. "And now, Lord, look upon your threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak the word with all boldness." In Romans chapter 10 and verse 15, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." So we preach that we pray that when the word is proclaimed, that it's done so boldly. It's done so, of course, in a spirit of love, preaching the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. But likewise, we ought to pray for our evangelists. Pray for your local ministers. Pray for those in the brotherhood around that are preaching the message, because it is a serious task to properly handle the word of truth. The scripture goes on to say in James chapter 3 and verse number 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with stricter judgment," or with greater strictness, I mean. And so those who are proclaiming, your evangelists, your ministers, pray for them by name, because they are taking on a serious task to take the gospel and the good word and to preach that message to many listeners. Pray for those who are involved in various ministries, whether it's prison ministries or foreign missions. You may hear, I didn't get a chance to look at your bulletin of all the different mission works that you pray for and support financially, but more importantly, keep them in your prayers. mention them by name. And looking at your bulletin here, I see a list of various works in which you are engaged in. Pray for the unbelievers. In 2 Thessalonians, or sorry, going back to Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, we ought to pray that the gospel run and it triumph. Second, it reads, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. Pray for all the different modes and that the gospel is being preached. Pray for the works like those tracts you have in your foyer. We have different tracts that we have at our congregation, from Mission Printing and Heart to Heart. There's so many different tracts and Christian brochures and publications that we ought to pray for. Pray for training programs that are teaching people how to study the Word and preach the Word in evangelism schools. Pray for the various lectureships and other gospel meetings that may be taking place in your area or maybe even your home congregation. Pray for them by name. Pray that God will send out reinforcements. It's a heavy work here, a heavy load. We're going to show you a picture here in a moment about the type of work that we are involved in. But therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Because all we need to do is lift up our eyes and to see that the fields are white unto harvest. Our prayers should be full of praying for evangelistic efforts. Pray for those that God can send out more reinforcements, that the gospel will run in triumph. Pray for the unbelievers, those in the various mission fields, and praying that the gospel be preached boldly, and for your evangelists and their other teachers who are filling that role. Another area that we ought to pray for is that of thanksgiving. Have prayers of thanksgiving. I like the songs, the three songs that were put together before the sermon. And one of them is about thanking God for all that he has given us. We thank God for our daily necessities. We pray oftentimes before our meals. And Matthew 6 and verse 11, I try to use this phrase in my prayers. Give us this day our daily bread, and thank God for the daily provisions and the blessings and the food that 1 Timothy 5 and verses 3 through 5 says that we receive with thanksgiving. You know, I'm going to throw up a picture here where it's going to make you hungry, I think. This hamburger, it's going to cause all sorts of emotions and stimulus. And the idea here is a book that I saw a while back called How Much Prayer Does a Hamburger Need? And I didn't even read the book, but I thought the title was catchy. And the idea is every time we say those prayers for our daily bread and for our daily blessings, hopefully we're not doing it within a vain repetition. I know it's not wrong to say the same phrases in our prayer. Jesus three times said the exact same prayer, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But yet when we pray, it's full of sincerity. And we're reminding ourselves each time that we eat our physical food that God is our sustainer, and he daily sustains us and takes care of us. We should have prayers that are full of being thankful for the people in your life, being thankful for your present health, being thankful for your wealth. And hopefully it can become a habit that your prayers aren't simply just asking God for different things, but that we're asking God that his will be done, but our prayers are full of thanksgiving and thankful for the various blessings in our life. Pray for those who are sick. We can pray specifically to the Hebrew term that's used for the name of God, Jehovah Rapha, which is found in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, where the verse says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you and I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. The term there for God is eternal healer. Who better to pray to when people are sick than the Lord Almighty? In James 5, verses 14 through 15, it goes on to and continues this thought. Who better to go to whenever you're going through a trying sickness than the author of life, the preserver of life? Who better to pray to whenever you are asking for strength, whenever you are weak. Who better to pray to than the one who can provide wisdom and guidance to the nurses and to the doctors who use the means of medicine and other medical practices to heal their bodies? Who better to go to in prayer than the one who ultimately designed and was the architect of your body? You can simply go through your bulletin or through your prayer requests and generally pray for them, but specifically call those people out by name and ask that the Lord's will be done and His hand will be involved. Jehovah Rapha's hand, God's hand, will be done. We ought to pray for knowledge. Pray for strategic wisdom in our life. There are so many verses. I'll just go through a couple of them. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. We ought to pray for that kind of wisdom. I love the knowledge that I find in other people. People who are sick, people who are struggling. There's a man I know right now who may not even possibly be alive at this time in this side of life because he's been on hospice care and didn't make it through the night almost yesterday. And he was one who demonstrated such faith in the Lord. He had such a sincere and deep knowledge in the truth that he had this amazing confidence. Even in hospice care, I went to visit him, and he had one of our church directories and our church bulletin, and he was calling people to encourage him while he himself was in hospice care. It was such amazing to see his knowledge that he had in the truth, that it was shown in his life, and he demonstrated such a positive outlook on life because of what he knew, and he knew who he was and where he was going. We ought to pray to have a mind of discernment. This is the thing about becoming a more mature Christian, that your standards change, that you continue to look to God as your source of right and wrong, of good and evil. And prayers like this can be made in Philippians 1, verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. We ought to pray that we can comprehend the love of Christ more. The love of Christ through life experiences, through study of the Word, through me having my own children and seeing what it would be like to give up my only son for the sake of those who were sinners, the Scriptures teach. Whenever we study the Word, when we experience the life that God has given us, we comprehend the love of Christ even more and have more of a sincere knowledge of His will in our lives. We ought to pray for our leadership. And moving along here, pray for your church leaders. When the elders were installed, it was under this prayerful mode. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. You ought to pray for your elders by name. They too, like the evangelists and preaching the message, take on a very, very important role. And they will be held accountable for that role. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Not only pray for your church leadership, but pray for the leadership of your country and your local and your national and really international leaders. In 1 Timothy 2 and verses 1 and 2, first of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all the people, for kings and all who are in the high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified, in every way. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. I know that one of the congregations I used to labor with a few years back, we would have these special prayer sessions before elections, and we would just simply pray that people would be able to look to God's word and be able to ultimately would vote based on their belief in the Scriptures. And we'd have these special prayers, and here's one of the pictures that we would use. Pray for unity. Pray for unity. And, you know, when we pray for this, we are modeling a prayer that Jesus made. One of his longest recorded prayers there in John chapter 17 and verse 21, Jesus prayed for unity. He prayed that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The scriptures don't like division. It really condemns division. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul said, I urge that there be no divisions among you, but that you all be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Unity is something that, despite our differences and the free will God has given us, we become united. We become united in the Lord. Unity ought to be found within our local congregations. We should strive to the best of our ability, using the scriptures as a standard, that within other congregations and the brotherhood around us, that we can have unity there, which is so great with this monthly jam taking place, where other congregations, I'm told, will be present as well. And then we pray that scriptures like this can serve as a foundation for unity. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? Amos 3:3. Or Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. We ought to pray for strength. Pray for strength and endurance. If you're in here, if I were to have this illustration done, I'm not going to, but have you put your arm up and then put your finger right here on your wrist. And if you felt something pumping, that heart pumping, that means you need strength at times. That means you are going to have difficult times in your life. That means you are going to need endurance whenever you are down, because you're human. And all of us have struggles, and we need to have these prayers of strength to help lift us up whenever we are down. And thankfully, the scriptures provide to us these admonitions in these verses about praying for that spiritual strength. Ephesians 3:16, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being. Again in Ephesians 1:16, do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. We need the Lord when we're weak. We sing about this. I love this song, You Are My All in All. He is my strength when I am weak. Or as the little kids sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. We are weak, but he is strong. And so we need to have this prayer of strength. We ought to pray for faithfulness. Pray that one's faith not be destroyed. Pray that we can continue to be faithful to the Lord and his message and his cause and his church. Passages like this come to mind in Luke 22 and verse 32. We have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. Pray for us individually that we remain faithful. Pray for those that we love, our family members, that they stay in that straight and narrow. Pray for those within the body of Christ to remain faithful. Luke 21, verse 36, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This requires a constant examination. Every Lord's Day, we take the Lord's Supper, the communion, that we examine ourselves, we examine our life, we examine who we are, the type of life that we lived the previous week. We examine and we remember that Christ did die for us, and that he satisfied the wages of sin, and that we examine our life to say, I am going to keep pressing on toward the prize. And this is a motivation, because Christ rose from the grave. I'm going to keep changing my life. I'm going to keep living for him. Examine yourself, Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 13:5, to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Let's go to the next point. Two more. We pray that the Lord will deliver us from the evil one. Perhaps this isn't a phrase that we use in our prayers, but really it ought to be. And I'm preaching to myself. I need to pray this as well. Because the moment that we don't pray for this, we begin not to believe that there is another being out there that is looking for areas where we're vulnerable and weak, in areas where we struggle, where we could potentially fail. The moment we begin to think that the evil one isn't really a part of the spiritual battle of the Christian walk, then we've perhaps already lost the battle, being in denial. In Matthew 6 and verse 13, Jesus said, "Lead us not into temptation." He goes on to say in Matthew 26, 41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." One of the youth in our congregation loaned me this book recently, a couple months back, called The Screwtape Letters. And it was a really intriguing book where it was a conversation, a satire between two demon tempters and how they were tempting mankind. There are specific humans that they were in charge of. And it was really neat as they were trying to look at the human conditioning and the human thought process and how they were trying to, these demons were talking about different ways in which they could tempt us. And of course it was a fictional book, but overall the scriptures do teach the very real possibility of behind the scenes that there is another force out there, the evil one who wants us to fall. You know, I remember even my wife's grandpa, her grandpa, every single prayer, he concluded it the exact same way right before he said, "In Jesus' name." He would always say his prayer, and then he would say, "Deliver us from the evil one." And at first, I'm thinking, well, he always says that. But he wanted us to always be mindful and remember that there is still a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, and that someone's me. It's you. It's really a child of God. And so let's continue to pray and be mindful and be strong. And guess what? You will be victorious, by the way. You will be victorious in the Lord if you recognize that he is your source of strength and the one who can deliver you. Lastly, we did it. 10 points. We're here. I'm cruising through this, but I'm not even looking at the clock because I knew if I did, I'd either talk extra fast or extra slow. So here we go. Forgiveness. This is one of the greatest spiritual blessings that you have, being in the Lord, that you can verbalize this prayer of forgiveness, that you can forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, as Jesus taught in Matthew 6 and verse 12. But this is one of my favorite passages about the spiritual blessing of forgiveness. 1 John 1 and verses 9 going through chapter 2 and verse 1. And this is what a Christian can pray for. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." In Christ, we receive such a powerful blessing. The forgiveness that is found through the blood of Jesus Christ, having that obedient and trusting faith. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, when they ask what they must do in order to be saved, and the answer was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." In Acts 22 and verse 16, "Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized so you can wash away your sins." That's how we're initially cleansed by the blood of Christ. And as a Christian, one who's already become immersed in the Lord and risen in a newness of life, you can continue to ask for that forgiveness of sins. I'm going to show you a picture here from the greatest moment in my life. There's been a lot of great moments. Two sons when I got married. But the greatest moment in my life was right here. This was 17 years old, going on 8-9 years ago, being baptized into Jesus Christ. It was about 11:30 at night, senior in high school, wasn't reared in a church, was more of a smorgasbord type of church follower, I suppose. Wherever there was free bagels and orange juice is where I went with my friends. And eventually, I caught on. I started dating this pretty girl that I'm now married to, and she was a member of the church and her extended family. Went with her and decided I wanted to study the scriptures. And that man was the youth minister at the time at the Keller Church. I took his job a few years later. He went to another congregation, that's why. And he baptized me late at night. And the greatest moment, Because that was the moment where I became in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I became added to the body of Christ. It was a time where my prayer life then became real. Because now being a Christian, I could go through this new prayer list of mine. I could pray for evangelistic opportunities. I had all these new amazing blessings being in Christ. Pray prayers full of thanksgiving. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for spiritual knowledge. Pray for our leadership, church and national leadership. Pray for unity and strength and faithfulness, and that He could deliver me from the evil one, and continually ask God to forgive me where I struggle and where I'm weak, and forgive me of my sins, because now I'm His. So, dear God, there's a lot of things that we can pray for. We can literally live a life of praying without ceasing, the scriptures say. And it's such an amazing blessing. And unfortunately, as the song goes, as we sing many times, it's a privilege we often forfeit. I often forfeit. I know I ought to pray more. And hopefully it's not just some to-do list thing. Oh, I prayed today. Check. No, it's a lifestyle. It's times when I pray when things are great and when things are okay and when things are really bad. I talk to the Lord. And I pray to Him for all these different things the Scriptures teach us. And so this morning, we'll do a song of invitation. I assume that's something, the Lord's invitation is available in Texas, same in California, right? Everywhere. And I love this, because at any time, and this is just an ideal time to do it, that when we're singing this invitation song, if you want your amazing moment to happen, it can become this morning, where you can be baptized into Christ, and I'm assuming there's a baptistry back there, and we could take care of that in just a few moments. You could be transferred from the domain of darkness, brought into the eternal light, Colossians 1, verse 13. Rise in newness of life and live the rest of your life with the greatest spiritual blessings in Christ. If you have any other need, if you want to identify yourself with the church here, there's so many things you could do right now. You could come forward while we stand, while we sing.